Hello and welcome to a Search CRM podcast. I'm Lauren Hoyt, site editor. Today we're here to talk about call center metrics with Lori Bachlin of Strategic Contact. Strategic Contact is an Oregon-based independent consulting firm that specializes in the call center. Lori has spent over 20 years in the call center industry, 15 of them as a consultant. She founded Strategic Contact in 2004. Today, she's a widely recognized and respected expert in call center strategy, technology, and operations. She speaks at many industry conferences and association meetings and is frequently published, including as an expert source here at Search CRM. Lori is joined by her colleague, Steve Soon, who has 26 years of experience with call center operations. Prior to becoming a consultant 3 years ago, Steve was in the trenches in a variety of call center roles. So he speaks firsthand about the importance and proper application of metrics to optimize operations. Lori and Steve are here with us today to share insight and tips on call center metrics and to help us understand why this is one of the most important aspects of call center management. Lori and Steve, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us here, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren.
So I'm looking over this top 10 list of call center metrics that you put together for me. Should every call center follow this list?
Well, I would like to call this a representative list. You know, it's hard to be prescriptive about these things because call center metrics should really line up with business strategy and operational strategies. But it really is our view of, hey, if we're going to pick 10, these are the 10 to start your thinking around in terms of being important, presenting a balance of how you use information in the contact center, and looking at the various elements of productivity, efficiency, quality in the customer experience, the financial aspects of running a contact center effectively.
That all of these metrics are important to one degree or another, just as Lori said. You may not measure them specifically if you're in, for example, like a smaller center or whatnot, but it's something that you should be aware of. You may not, on a daily basis, measure your cost per call, for example, mm-hmm. but it's something that you need to know and at least have your finger on the pulse to determine where you are in terms of your operation.
Right. Now, there are some metrics that are noticeably absent from this list. Some favorites like average speed of answer, first call resolution, and abandon rate that we get a lot of questions about on Search CRM. Why did you leave those off the list?
Well, they're on our honorable mention list, if you will, and different ones that didn't make our top 10 didn't make it for you know, a variety of reasons. Some of them, there's some better metrics. So average speed of answer, we'd rather have people look at service level, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're doing things right with service level, number of calls offered and handled, your abandon rate is really going to be looked at through that. Some of them aren't on the top 10 list because they're darn hard to measure. First call resolution rate, one of the other ones you mentioned, I would put in that category. It's a difficult thing to measure. And if you use customer satisfaction, for example, which we put into our top 10, first call resolution can be part of what you're measuring with customer sat. Ask your customers. That's one of the best ways to measure, did we really meet their needs on that first contact? So there's no one reason why things are off, but there's a variety of things that could have pushed them to an honorable mention rather than being in that top 10 list.
Okay. Now, going back to what you said a little while ago, Steve, do all of these metrics apply regardless of size or budget, or what considerations come into play for a small or medium-sized call center?
Yes, I think all of these metrics apply. Each metric is really an important indicator of service quality or plays a role in determining the amount of resources required for the center. That's important for any size of center, whether you're small, medium, or large. Again, it depends on your particular center. You may not monitor a particular metric every single day, but you need to be aware of how it's affecting your operation. The biggest difference, I think, in terms of size, if you're looking at a small, medium, or large center, is some of this information is more automated or tends to be more automated and available more easily in larger centers because of the technology that's available and purchased for those centers. But otherwise, it can be calculated. Each one can be calculated manually or through other processes at any size center. And again, it's a question of kind of monitor or measure depending upon your need.
And then to use some examples to point out what Steve's saying, so some of these things come out of workforce management systems more readily. Adherence to schedule, that's going to be spit out and be an easy metric to look at on a report if you've got a workforce management tool. If you've got a 20-seat call center, it's going to be hard to justify the cost of that type of a tool. So some of them become, as Steve said, harder, or, you know, you're not going to do them as frequently, or you're going to put some more basic manual process in place if you're a small to medium center. But, you know, you do want the balance, and the top 10 list really should be considered by any size center if you can.
Mm-hmm. So if they don't have the money for the technology to help them track some of these metrics, should they really be measuring, for example, both customer satisfaction and quality scores?
I think that there's a way to get at those that's relatively cost-effective for any size center. So I don't want size to be an excuse to not measure customer sat or not measure quality. You know, I've had small call centers that have used SurveyMonkey, which is a relatively low-cost mm-hmm. way to get some feedback from your customers on their experience. And so it may not be as formal and it may not be as frequent, but they get that input. If you can't afford a quality monitoring system, you can still set up a, you know, every ACD, automatic call distribution system out there has an ability to do service observing, that is to listen in on calls, or you can sit down with reps and do some level of quality monitoring. So while it's easier, more rigorous, easier to report on if you've got more money and tools, I'd hate to see people say, I don't want to do those because I'm too small. And again, do them both, because the quality monitoring gives you an internal view, whereas the customer sat gives you that external view, and we can never replicate that by our own internal views of how the call went.
Our readers are always interested in where to set their targets for these metrics. How do you know what to use as a target for service level or handle time? And should they benchmark against other centers?
Well, metrics, first of all, drive performance. It's particularly acute if the staff is incentivized or rewarded in any way to achieve the metrics. It's important to measure metrics and establish those based upon the requirements of the business. An example being, you know, a business that has to handle a particular amount of volume would incentivize their agents and set metrics around volume versus quality. A business that promotes customer service would set their metrics heavily on quality, customer satisfaction versus quantity or handle time. In either case, it's a good practice to benchmark metrics with companies that are similar in your vertical or similar industry. There's a number of, you know, user groups, for example, that may not be related directly to the call center, but may have call center data available in your particular industry. There's also a great number of companies out there that really provide data in terms of benchmarking. CenterServe, for example, puts out a study each year that really compares industries across in many call center metrics.
And I think the key thing with any of those, so the CenterServe survey that Steve mentioned, or there's others, Benchmark Portal, whatever, is to take any of those with a grain of salt. So let's say I'm looking at, well, what should my service level be? And as Steve highlighted, you want to look at what your business is about first. That's really, what's your strategy, what's your funding of your center, those kinds of things. But then look at those inputs as data points from a benchmarking perspective. But at the same time, recognize you've got to take those with a pretty heavy grain of salt, I think, mm-hmm. because the participants in any benchmarking survey may define things in different ways. So an easy example is in service level. There are many different ways to define service level. While we say it's 80% of calls in 35 seconds or whatever numbers you set, the definition of X percent of calls in Y seconds, but what gets counted in that or excluded varies. So some people throw out calls that are abandoned, all calls that are abandoned. Some people throw out calls that abandon in less than 20 seconds or 35 seconds or whatever. And so you have to understand that there's a lot of variation that goes into those calculations. So people are putting in their numbers, but they're not putting in their calculations. So take it as one data point, one consideration, but you've really got to consider a number of things, including your strategy, your customer expectations, and those things as you set targets. And then watch what happens and adjust, because especially if you're a new center getting started, those things are hard to nail out of the gates.
Okay. You talked about the different types of call centers a little bit. How much does the role of the call center influence what their metrics should be? A call center that's required to sell versus one that is purely for customer service. Are there a lot of differences there in terms of what metrics they should be looking at?
I think the role of the call center is very, very important in terms of determining the metrics. if you take the two examples that you had given, Lauren, on that, a customer service center, what they measure and what they take a look at is very different than what you'd see in a sales center. Customer service calls are calls that are generated because something has gone incorrectly, whether it's a process, service, product, somewhere there's been a breakdown. In order to satisfy the customer and keep the customer, those calls may tend to be longer, and there would be a heavier emphasis on quality, and also making sure that the accuracy and the things are done completely right to make sure that customer does not have to call back again. A sales center, on the other hand, is really focused on revenue generation. So you'll begin to see metrics that are based upon a percentage of sales, conversion rates, amounts of add-on sales. You won't really take a look at that. About the only quality thing that you might take a look at is really the accuracy. Did someone enter information into an order or place an order accurately as not to drive a call then to customer service? But it really is much more based upon sales and much more about probably faster telephone calls to achieve that sales and generating revenue.
Yeah, and I'll give another example. When people talk a lot about customer relationship management, and what does that really mean in a contact center? And I always tell the story about a client we worked with that the metrics mindset shifted tremendously as they put in customer relationship management strategy and processes and tools. And the manager of that center would walk around and say, talk time is up and I'm thrilled. And the average call center, if talk time is going up, they get nervous because mm-hmm. they're not going to meet other performance targets and they're going to need more staff and what's going on. But because that organization was focused on, we're going to build relationships with our customers, that takes more time on the phone, right? So talk time is up and I'm thrilled because I've got other metrics that show me that we are building relationships, and those get to the revenue type of metrics or the products per customer type of metrics or the retention type of metrics. And so you start to see, it doesn't even have to be a pure sales mindset that you'll have different metrics. And it could be I measure different things or I set different targets for those metrics as I have a different strategy or set of business goals or purpose for what I'm doing in that center. And I'll layer on a little bit of what Steve said about quality. I think in any case, there's some level of quality in terms of compliance and covering the right things and doing the right things for the customer. But as he highlighted, you might have a different focus on what you're doing in those environments. So I think there's a lot of different elements that stay in play, but the focus may shift in how you use them depending on what the purpose of the center is or the particular call type that you're dealing with.
Okay. If someone out there is just starting a new call center, how should they approach the planning part and defining their metrics?
New centers have an interesting challenge because, you don't know what volume am I going to get and how long is it going to take to walk through these calls with customers. So mm-hmm. We've been through that process a few times with people, and there's a bit of assumption-driven and estimating, and you can do a time and motion type things where you play out what's a contact going to be like. You can model against volumes. For example, if I'm going to get the numbers from the marketing people and the sales people about their sales plan, I can turn that into an estimate of how many contacts per person of what type and how will those ramp up and that sort of thing. And some of them may be sales and some of them may then be service type of contacts. So those types of things, you kind of need to do some modeling and some planning. When you get to the other types of performance targets, we've talked a little bit about benchmarking as an input. Can you visit other centers? Can you take some experience that people have had from working at other similar environments? Steve had earlier mentioned looking at your vertical market, that kind of thing, to try and get some inputs on what's going to make sense. And then I think what's really key is that you start relatively simple. So build a strategy that's got some core elements, service level, quality, maybe customer sat, maybe some level of cost or revenue or both type of metrics. Define a few that you really want to focus on, some others you're going to keep your eyes on, and then as you get some experience under your belt, watch those, see how they are playing out, learn from it, and then adjust and evolve those metrics. I don't think you can set it in stone out of the gates too easily. You're going to have to set some target stuff to get going, but then have a vision that you're going to, evolve that over the next 6 to 12 months probably while it settles in and you really get a feel for what your center is going to look like and how it's going to operate and how your customers are going to interact with you.
again, I think it's not to add to what Lori said. I don't think it's as critical at the beginning that you have exactly the right metric set in terms of what that number needs to be or what that measurement needs to be. But it is very, very important that you have the right thing that you're measuring to drive the business. Because if you start out with a set of metrics that are sending you in the wrong direction, if you have to go back in and say, oh, we're not concerned about quality anymore, we're concerned about quantity, you've set up a situation that's going to be very disruptive to your workforce, because you've already begun to train them in the mindset and the culture of the company that what you want them to do. And if you turn around and also have hired to that profile, so if you turn around, for example, and say, you know, we've been all about quality, and now we're going to be all about speed, you know, you may find it difficult in coaching, counseling, and getting the people that are in the call center to embrace those new targets. So I think it is very important to decide up front, you know, when you're starting a new call center, what do we want to achieve? You can always adjust the amount of that, but what do you want to achieve and what metrics will drive that?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. It's really start with strategy and then go from there. And if that's off target, you're going to have a big problem. If you're a little off target on a number for a particular metric, no big deal. That's relatively easy to adjust to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And who should be responsible for tracking metrics? Is that the role of the call center manager, or a director, or a QA manager, or both?
Well, accurate tracking and reporting are critical, and I think, therefore, it's really the responsibility, I believe, of a dedicated person within the call center. You can take a look at the manager or the quality manager, those people that would perform a role in that, but it really should be tracked, reported by someone who is, I would say, impartial or dedicated to that. The role of the managers and other people in the organization are to drive certain strategies or to develop certain strategies to address what comes out of the reporting and analysis of the metrics.
I would add to what Steve's saying, one of the things we see all too frequently, and this is particularly a problem in the smaller centers, so, you know, Steve's nirvana that he's describing there is, you know, have an analyst or analysts that are all about reporting and analysis, and depending on how big you are, some of them slice and dice more of the, I just spit out the reports and that, and then there's someone who goes deeper on the analytics, and maybe there's people that focus on the real-time element of it. You know, how are we doing right now, and what adjustments do we need to make? But the challenge we see, particularly, again, in these smaller centers, is that managers, fairly senior people, end up spending a lot of time manipulating data to create reports. And I joke, it's always at 7 o'clock at night because, mm-hmm. you know, they've got their day job. And it's one of the things that we see of the unwillingness to invest in that role to really work on the reporting and analysis to understand how we're doing, figure out what we could do differently, tie that into process changes, technical changes, training changes, whatever it might be. So while having people focused on that might look like a luxury, I think it can really pay off in making it routine, consistent, and then the action, which Steve has highlighted around other things we've talked, you know, quality or whatever, but having action that goes with that, not just the process of spitting out a report all the time that says, here's how we're doing.
Okay. And how much time each week should the call center manager or director spend looking at metrics?
I would say the dedicated person that's going to be doing the metrics, that would be a full-time position. But in terms of the management and leadership that takes a look at that, I think that's should be, honestly, very little of their time in terms of processing that information or taking a look at it. The reports and metrics and all that information should be configured in a way that it's easy for them to take a look at, you know, where are we in relation to our targets? You know, not a lot of time, as Lori said, you know, at 7 o'clock at night on a Friday trying to analyze what's going on and putting the reports together. They should be set up so that it gives a clear dashboard look to the management and leadership of where are we, so that they then can take the role of developing strategies, process procedure to address any changes that they want to initiate in relation to those metrics.
I think one of the things we see, again, and you can find tons of articles and speeches at conferences and whatever on this topic, but the people in the trenches, so think of the supervisors first, they need to spend time with their folks in coaching and counseling and helping them develop. So we don't want them spending time on trying to make sense of reports or create reports and that sort of thing. So like Steve said, make it easy for them. And then as you go up kind of the chain, if you will, of managers and then maybe across with their peers in analytical roles, is having that kind of the strategy. So Steve mentioned earlier the importance of strategy in developing your overall metrics plan, but that part of what that strategy does is also give the people that need to deal with these metrics a sense of, I know what I'm supposed to worry about, and I know what other people are worrying about. So a supervisor is getting the data they need to do that day-to-day, real-time management, coaching, counseling with their team. So quality monitoring results and how are we doing on meeting service level, and, you know, are my new trainees getting into a mode where their stats are kind of matching up with the norm for the team, that kind of thing. And then on up the chain where they're hopefully, as you go up the chain, worrying less about the details and more about the big picture. And having strategy and having clarity on those plans and who's doing what and who's worrying about what and what information I need to get and how I should use it for the role I'm in, I think is a really key part to people using their time efficiently around metrics and reporting and analysis.
Great. Thank you both so much for being here today.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk about it, Lauren.
Thanks to our listeners for being here. Visit Search CRM to learn more about our call center podcasts. Until next time, I'm Lauren Hoyt for Search CRM.